You know, I find it as I study Hebrews, I found it so very interesting that the writer of Hebrews, now if you've been following us with a study, he reminds me when I read his writings, he reminds me of some of them old fashioned preachers I used to know, hammering things in people's head, you know, and they wouldn't listen, you know. And I remember one old preacher some years ago, and some of y'all may know him. I know some of the, he was an old Free Will Baptist preacher, and his name was Gerald Holly. I don't know if anybody ever know Gerald Holly. I bet you knew Gerald, didn't you, Peggy? Yeah. Gerald Holly, good preacher. But I was just a little fella. But he'd say, "I'm going to hammer it in your head till it busted." Amen. And, you know, hard-headed. You ever met hard-headed people? Well, the writer of Hebrews has encountered hard-headed people. But he, right in the middle of that, in the book of Hebrews, he gives them a history lesson. He gives them the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And he's given them great examples of faith. Great examples of men and women who stepped out on nothing to trust God. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have what you and I have. And they trusted God. And we've started this already. We're down to verse number 20. And we, you know, we talked about these men, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And their faith that they had. And, you know, you find the word faith many, many times in this chapter. Because in verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to do what? It's impossible to please God. You must have faith in what God is doing. Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing, but we must have faith. You know, we hear these prayer requests. I don't understand this. You know, I was asked last night in that hospital, "Preacher, tell me my son's going to live." I said, "I cannot tell you that. I cannot. I can just tell you God knows what he's doing." You see, I don't understand things all the time. But by faith, we have to take it as it is. And we worked our way through Abraham and Sarah. Now tonight, verse number 20, we're going to look at Isaac. And only one verse here given to Isaac, only one given to Jacob, only one given to Joseph. We'll talk about them just a little bit. Verse number 20 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, Isaac blessed his sons, and you know them, he gives them here, Jacob and Esau, concerning things to come, or concerning, you could say it this way, concerning things pertaining to the will of God. Now we must understand, we must operate in the will of God. God's way is not always our ways. So we must operate in the will of God. We know that the blessing bestowed upon Jacob was done through how? Deceit and trickery. You remember his mother and how they tricked the old man and to giving Jacob that blessing? It was done through trickery. And you say, well, then how is it that this is in the faith chapter? That's not in the faith chapter. Isaac's in the faith chapter. You know why? Because Isaac operated out of faith. He operated out of faith. He was operating in the will of God. He was acting with faith to accomplish the will of God. Turn over with me. We're going to go some back to the Old Testament and read Genesis chapter 27 tonight. And I'm going to read several verses here, but I think it's good when you run across these scriptures and they pertain to events in the Old Testament, it's good to go back and read them. That refreshes your memory, puts you there in the day. You ever put yourself in the scene when you read the Bible? I like to every now and then put myself there. And so Genesis chapter 27, we'll begin reading in verse 26. The Bible says, "And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son, And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, you know, this is Jacob dressed to smell and feel like Esau. Verse 28. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought into his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard these words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Of course, Jacob means what? A supplanter. For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given thy Lord, all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, has thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Isaac, even though trickery by Rachel and Jacob came in, Isaac operated by faith. He operated trusting the will of God. And that's why he's in this chapter. But it says here, by faith, Isaac blessed him.
You know God would be right over the other brother anyway.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We're not to worry that God was on his side from the beginning.
Amen. That's right. He did. And he was trusting by faith. Now we come to verse 21, and we're introduced to Jacob. Now, you see, Jacob involved in the trickery. Now let's look here. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, Jacob became... How many children did Jacob have? He had one more. He had 13. He had 12 sons and one daughter, you remember? Of course, the 12 sons became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the blessing of, here, the blessings of Joseph's sons, who were they? Do you remember who they were? Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, you remember when Joseph brought them to him? The blessing of Jacob's sons, Joseph's sons, sorry. Again, faithful to the will of God when Jacob would bless them. I want us to go back and read that because it's important you understand. We studied this in the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis 48. And let's read beginning in verse 8. We don't want to read the whole chapter, but let's begin in verse 8 and maybe read down through about 19. Genesis 48 and verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has shewed me also thy seed." Now, there was a time in his life when Jacob thought Joseph was what? Dead. Remember? Thought he'd been ripped to pieces. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 11. Verse 12, "And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head." Now Joseph has placed these in the order he wants them. You notice that? Because he wants the blessing to go to who? To Manasseh. Because why? He's the oldest son. So he places him because Israel's going to bless with his right hand. And so he places him in the, or he's supposed to, so it would work out that way. Because we read here where Jacob can't see. Well, anyway, we look at what happens. "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, 'Go, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day.'" Now we'll stop there. You know, what happened was when Jacob went to bless the two boys, he did that, operating by faith. God guided him. Amen? He operated by faith. Now, notice what else it says in this chapter. I think it's interesting. It mentions this. It says, "And worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Now, that's important here. Jacob, when you study the life of Jacob, was not the best example of a father. When you first start out, when he first starts out, he doesn't go to the right places. He doesn't make the right decisions. But there was a time in Jacob's life when he truly met the Lord. You remember when that was? When he wrestled. When he wrestled all night. And the Bible says he didn't walk the same after that. Amen? I mean, physically. He limped. That's why he's got a staff here. Turn with me to Genesis 32. After his encounter with God, Jacob was never the same. You'll see. In Genesis 32, you'll get part of that encounter here. Genesis 32, and we'll begin in verse 24 and read a few verses here. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there." Jacob would never be the same. Amen. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and I have seen, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." He had an encounter with God, didn't he? "And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." He was crippled. "Therefore the children of Israel, eat not the chenu which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day. because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Jacob became a cripple after that. This staff that is mentioned here in this faith chapter become a reminder to Jacob of God's promises to him and his generation. Become a promise to Jacob, a reminder of Jacob when he met the Lord. And here we find him in this faith chapter, worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. Yeah, amen, that's right. My life was preserved, that's right, amen. He met the Lord, and he was never the same after that, you see, and physically and spiritually. Now, we come to verse 22, to Joseph. Now, when we study Genesis, a whole lot of Genesis pertains to Joseph. But Joseph, Bible says, again, here's these words, look here, by faith. Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, Joseph spent most of his life in Egypt. You remember how he got to Egypt? Sold as a slave by his brothers. You remember? He spent most of his life in Egypt. By the way, it was not by choice. It was by command. He was taken against his will. He was sold. He would spend, when you study Joseph, he'll spend time in prison. But let me tell you something about Joseph. Joseph never lost faith. No doubt he had some bad days. But he always maintained his faith. And you see, all those years, and you know, I wish I could remember how many years it was he spent in Egypt. It was a long time. I can't remember the exact now. I have to go back and look. But anyway, he spent a long time there. You remember his encounter in Potiphar's house, which landed him in prison? Then you remember down there he met those people in prison, and there was the baker and the butler. You remember? All those people he encountered there while he was down there in that prison where he hadn't done anything. He spent all that time. All that time he was in the will of God. God had great plans for him, but I'm going to tell you what, it was way down the road before he ever saw that. Many events took place before he ever saw that. Now here's where faith kicks in. You may be trudging through things you don't understand, and maybe it feels like you just can't do it anymore. You must hold on to faith in God. Amen? Must hang on to faith in God. Because God knows where you are. God knew where Joseph was, didn't he? God was building him up for great things. He would spend his time in prison and in the will of God. He kept the faith, trusting God. I'm going to tell you what Joseph knew. Joseph knew the promises of God. Now, this is important. If you don't get nothing else, listen to what I'm telling you. Joseph knew the promises of God. And Joseph was faithful to the promises of God. He wasn't, you know, it didn't matter what Pharaoh said. He knew what God said. And he was faithful to him. He knew, this one thing he knew, he knew that God's people would one day come out of the land in which he found himself in. He knew that. Why, if not, why would he make requests that you carry my bones out when you go out? Amen? He knew. Why? God had made a promise. Now, folks, guys, if you don't get nothing else, follow me. God has promised us many things. His word is full of promises. And we may be beaten down and trodden down. We may be down in the prison of life. But God's promises are still real. Don't quit or give up because God has promised some things. That's where Joseph was. I say he spent many days saying, I don't really understand why I'm here. Probably got frustrated. Probably got mad and aggravated. But he knew what God had said. You see, he knew God's promises to his people. Genesis chapter 50. Well, he interpreted him dreams, remember? And you remember when the baker and the butler, now, let's see. I'm trusting my memory. One of them died. Which one died and the other lived? The baker lived or died? The baker died and the butler lived, didn't he? You remember, he told, and Joseph told him, said, now you remember me. Well, he didn't until Pharaoh had a dream. You remember? Then he remembered a man down there in prison 2 years later, if I believe it was right, that could interpret dreams and did for him. Genesis chapter 50, just a couple verses. In verse 24 and 25, we could say a whole lot about Joseph. I mean, we could spend weeks talking about Joseph, but that's not really what we're here to do. But Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 and 25, this is what Joseph said. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Now look at this. But look what he says. And God will surely, that's a hallelujah statement. That's a hallelujah statement. Did you catch what he said? Look at it. Underline it. Circle it. Draw a picture on it. God will surely visit you. How did he know that? Because God done told him. And bring you out of this land unto the land, here it is, that he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, the next verse says, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You see, all that time, he was in those bad predicaments. He remembered what God said. Hey, folks, we can do the same thing. Just remember what God said. Hey, the problem is, and I say this kindly, that so many people, they don't know what God says. They don't read their Bible. They don't study their Bible. They couldn't tell you anything God has said. And that's why we have a world, Christians in turmoil. I mean, trouble comes. I'm not telling you trouble's not going to come. But we have an anchor that's steadfast and sure. Amen. And we must trust what he says. Now, let's burst. Yeah, okay. Now, let's bounce down now to two interesting people. The parents of Moses. They're in the faith chapter. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Once again, you ought to write out in your Bible, trusting God's promises. Who are the parents of Moses? Do you know their names? Jochebed was the mother and the father? Amram. Amram and Jochebed. Now, here, what we have here are parents doing the will of God. Now, you know, so many times we read these stories in the Bible. We read them. We read them over and over and over. I don't think we really get into the magnitude of what these people done. I want you to think about what they've done. Here are the parents doing the will of God, taking great steps in trusting God to take care of their little baby. I wrote in my Bible some years ago, and I intended to preach a message by it, but I've never done it yet. And what I wrote was a basket full of tears. Go with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And let's look at these first 10 verses. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done for him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself with the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And I love this. I love this. God pinches this baby. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. Now, you know what I think? Now, this is what I think. First of all, let me tell you something. I'll finish reading that in a minute. I want you to think about tonight the agony that mother must have had as she was building that little boat. As she was building that boat, knowing she was going to have to put that baby in that river. Otherwise, they're going to kill him. She's going to have to put that baby in that river, trusting God to drive the current. Let me tell you something Jochebed didn't have. She didn't have what you're holding in your hand. We know the outcome. She didn't have it. She didn't know nothing. She didn't know where that river was going, where that little boat was going to go. So I imagine as she built that little ark, it filled up with tears. She began to put it together, and the Bible says, and daub it with slime. You know, I figure what she's doing as she's building that little boat, she's praying. God, I know something's got to happen. And I know what you said. And I know who you are. Now, here's the problem with our world today. We don't do that anymore. These people stepped out on faith. Building that, and no doubt that mother cried tears. She put that baby in that ark. And you know what I think it does? I think that little thing started rocking. God just rocked it to sleep as it floated down that river. Because if that baby started screaming in that boat, they'd have heard it. Huh?
Yeah.
Rocked it. Driving it the whole time. You know, Pharaoh's daughter's coming down to take a bath. She's going to look in that basket. God pinches that baby so it'll cry.
Yeah. Amen.
Looky here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's finish reading this. Where did I leave off at? This excites me sometimes. The babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, listen, God's not done yet. Look here. A faithful praying mother, no doubt mama's still praying. She doesn't know where that basket's at. She doesn't know where that baby's at. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse?" Oh, well, hallelujah. Guess, of the Hebrew women,
amen,
that she may nurse the child for thee. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. Still by the bank praying, no doubt. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happened in those, nursing babies in them days probably weaned off at 2 or 3 years old. You know what happened? The baby got back with mama. You know what mama began to teach that baby? She began to teach that baby to trust in God. It's going to show up a little bit later down the years. She trained up a child in the way it should go. Mama began to tell him about Jesus. And well, glory, hallelujah, we're going to have revival tonight. Jesus will show back up. In Moses a little later when we talk about Moses. Mama took it and began to tell little Moses. As she nursed that baby, no doubt she may have sung Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Jesus loves you, child. Trust in God. Hey, we must trust in God. And she got paid to do it. That's right. Yeah. Don't tell me faith don't work. What's that? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Amen. Exactly. What you have here, you have the faith of this mother and no doubt father of Jochebed and Amram to trust God to put that little baby in that boat. Did they understand? Did they understand the 400 years of bondage? Did they understand Moses' role he would play in Exodus? Nope. I say they had no idea. I don't know, but one thing I know they did know, they know who God was. And they did it by faith. They did it by faith. They had faith in God, great faith to put their son in a homemade boat and trust God for the outcome. Think about that. Yeah. Do we today have that kind of faith? To step out? I mean, we should. Because it's the same God. Yeah, and we have no excuse. We know the outcome of this thing. Hey, these people we've been reading about didn't have this. You know, Jochebed didn't sit there and read, well, now Amram, he's going to float down there to Pharaoh's house. And she's going to take him. He's going to become a great leader of that nation. She didn't have that. She didn't have no idea what was going to happen to that little boy. But she trusted God. Amen. That's right. Yeah. You know? Can you imagine that mother? I have a feeling that mother started shouting when the little sister come back and said, Mama, they need you down in Egypt. Moses needs to be fed. Amen? And they're going to pay you to do it. And I figure she said, I've got a window of time to teach this little boy something. Because they sure ain't going to do it. Let me tell you something, Mom and Dad, today. You and I have a small window of time to teach our children about God, about God, and about God's blessing, God's promises. They ain't going to do it. This world ain't going to do it. We have a small window of time to teach them. And the Bible gives us a promise. If we'll do it, they'll not forget it. They may not live life, they may get in trouble, whatever. But they're not going to forget what this taught. And so we must take advantage of that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we'll start with Moses next week. And there's a whole lot there to talk about. Yeah. Moses, you know, he goes from Egypt to the backside of the desert, back to Egypt. Yeah, he leaves in fear. And you know, Moses will leave Egypt twice. First time he'll leave a running in fear. And the next time he'll leave in victory. Amen. But it only comes after a backside of the mountain education. In faith. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.